Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 156. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we actually have a pair of brand new films again this week. We are really on our game.
Yeah, we are.
Giving us a little golf clap here. But before we get into this week's reviews, there's a few movie-related news items, I guess, that I wanted to touch on before we get started. And my dog is going apeshit.
That does happen.
I don't know what's going on. Anyway, first up, sad news today. Barry Crimmins, who is a comedian and the subject of a 2015 documentary called Call Me Lucky, he died today, I guess, or he died at some point in the last 24 hours. I just bring it up because that film that he was the subject of, Call Me Lucky, it was, I believe, on both of our top 10 lists the year it came out. And ever since, I've been a pretty big fan of his. Like, I've followed him on Twitter and you know, laughed as he asked the Pope every day to excommunicate him. And I've enjoyed his, like, you know, his politics, and you know, he's a voice of outrage and stuff in my Twitter feed that I really enjoyed. I guess he got sick with cancer and died very quickly from it. Just sad all around. Also kind of a bummer too. If you remember from the documentary, he is kind of single most of his life. And, you know, I was really happy to see, like, this last fall, he had married someone, and then it came out that she had cancer, and they were trying to get help for that, and then I guess it must have came as a surprise that he had it as well, and he died very quickly from it before her. I don't know if she's, you know, how sick she is with it or not.
She's pretty sick, too. She has stage 4 cancer as well, so.
Sucks. Yeah. It's a bummer. You know, I don't know what else to say to other than, you know, I really liked the guy. I think, you know, on a movie note, if you haven't seen Call Me Lucky, I believe it's still available on Netflix. I'm not sure. It's worth seeking out. It's a really, really good documentary that if you don't know what it's really about, will surprise you. I don't know if you really wanted to add much to that, but.
I mean, it's a, yeah, that film, though, starts out one way and then goes a very different direction, which is very interesting. And he did a lot of he did a lot of good in, like, political
activism. On top of that, yeah.
And just as a human being, like, fighting against bad shit, so.
Yeah. On a slightly more positive note, I mean, it freaked me out when I saw it, but I woke up the other night to go to the bathroom, and because I am addicted to my phone, I checked my phone in the middle of the night. It's like 2:30 in the morning, and the first thing I see when I open up my Twitter is Kevin Smith, director Kevin Smith, posting that he just had a massive heart attack and almost died. This freaked me out for several reasons. I mean, one is he's not that much older than us.
Right.
I don't know how old you are, Chris, but, like, he's 47. He's pretty young. That part freaked me out. And just, he's one of the filmmakers from, like, he defined, like, our generation growing up. It was, like, him and fucking Tarantino, you know?
Yeah.
And
he definitely defined, like, independent filmmaking of that era, so.
Yeah. I mean, he, for better or worse, was, you know, a huge part of what Miramax was in the 90s and whatnot. And just, yeah, the whole independent film scene, all that. And then on top of that, I think it's safe to say we're both pretty huge fans of him. I know the internet likes to shit on him for what I don't understand why.
I suppose you can look back and go, oh, his movies don't hold up all that great. I still think some of them are still damn funny, and they mostly because they relate to, like, my life experiences. So, But
Yeah, I mean, this week I have gone back and started to watch some of his movies, and you're right. Yeah, maybe they don't hold up. Maybe I mean, I will say this: I think his last movie was really bad, like not a good movie.
oh yeah, Yoga Hosers is garbage.
Yeah, but I like his movies or not. I don't. The guy seems like an all-around nice guy, so I don't understand why
Yeah.
everyone wants to shit on him.
It's funny too, because like people want to, I mean, like they shit on him for a variety of reasons, but like you're gonna shit on him for not being a like great filmmaker. He's never ever
Yeah.
stated that he says, I'm a terrible filmmaker. I make movies about people talking at each other. Like literally, that's all I
Yeah.
film, like people talking.
Yeah. I point the camera and shoot. Like, yeah.
And we kind of like had a little discussion on Twitter today, and like I didn't add this in, but I honestly think his best work is not even stuff that he's made movies of. It's his question and answer stand up stuff,
Yeah.
like An Evening with Kevin Smith, which he's like blown out into like a podcast network where he does shows on every fucking topic. Like the guy is just a talker, and he's engaging and entertaining. Like I like listening to his stories. He's a great storyteller.
Yeah, like an Evening with Kevin Smith is a pretty awesome movie in its own right, even though it's not really a movie. Yeah, and he has basically created this whole second career that is not filmmaking. And I'm, all that said, and like I guess another final point on this is like I'm happy just for him that he's fine,
Yeah.
or you know at least recovering or whatever, not dead. And selfishly for me, I have not given up on this guy. Like I still think he has another like great movie in him somewhere. I think. For whether it's good or bad or not, I want to see his new Jay and Silent Bob movie. So, stay safe, Kevin Smith.
And I mean, just like, yes, like selfishly, we want him to stick around because we want to experience more of what he has to offer. But I mean, like he has a kid, he has a wife. Also, like his best friend, Jay Muse, is like he's borderline crazy as it is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and supposedly he's sober again. He's off of heroin. And like, I just imagine like something, like if something bad were to happen to Smith, like where Muse would go, like, and you never want to see like that chain of re that chain reaction happen. Like,
No, Kevin Smith has been, I think, a pretty positive influence in all of his friends' lives. He didn't just, make it big and then leave them behind. He brought his friends with him. Bought a comic book shop and put his friend Walt Flanagan in charge of the comic book shop.
and they
He's,
film a TV show based on that comic book shop, like where they interview like
yeah.
his employees, like they have like a round table and film in the store. So
He, I think it is a large reason that Muse is so right. I know Muse is now married with a kid. I'm sure that's a great motivator as well. But before that, it was Kevin Smith going, I'm not gonna make movies with you if you're gonna show up fucked up. Yeah, just all around. I think he's like a good guy. I'm happy, he's alive still, but
yes.
yeah, just beyond that, I'm a fan. I like his movies. I know that they don't always they Like he said, he even says he knows he's not like fucking Martin Scorsese over here. He's a guy who got really lucky. But I do like his writing and I want to see more from him. And I've followed him all the way up through Yoga Hosers. I want to see what else he's gonna do.
Yeah, because like at first, as shitty as Yoga Hosers is, it's a goddamn train wreck you can't look away from. I'll give it that. And I mean, just as a filmmaker, the guy is able to go and like he makes money for the studio. Like he never goes over budget, really. He's
Yeah.
always putting a profit on. Like he's just a he, you know, he's smart. He maybe, maybe his films aren't great, but I am happy that, he's still going to be around, hopefully for quite a while.
Yeah, I would be super bummed if he had died that night. Like I'm at the point now where I'm going through his whole filmography, like just appreciating him, you know? Yeah, so luckily he didn't.
You need to pop out and be like, this is really bad.
You know what's funny is I was like looking through it and stuff. I'm like, I've never seen Jersey Girl, so that'll be a first for me.
I like Jersey Girl. It's not as bad as people make it out to be.
Yeah, it doesn't. I watched the trailer for it. I'm like, it looks okay, you know. All right, all that out of the way, let's get down to the new movies of the week, Chris.
Do it.
We'll start off with the big theatrical release. Well, I don't know if you want to call it big, but a theatrical release just came out. I went and saw it last night, and that is Game Night.
Yep.
Black comedy from directed by John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein. Starring, what's his name, Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams.
Yep.
The premise is this couple, they're really competitive. They have game nights all the time. Jason Bateman's brother comes into town, his rich, successful brother, played by Kyle Chandler. And his brother, who likes to upstage him and everything, plans an even bigger game night that revolves around like this murder mystery type thing. It's crazy. I think this movie is a lot of fun, and I had a lot of laughs. I don't know. How about you, Chris?
Yeah. It's crazy. I pretty much laughed through the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much of the specifics of it anymore. Like I know the base plot, like, Max is very competitive with Brooks and they, you know, put him on this live action murder mystery thing. That's not really like it's actually something more sinister than that. And then like there's double twists and triple twists, and it goes kind of off the rails in the last 5 minutes or so where,
there's like, it piles on twists.
Oh yeah. It's just like twist after twist after twist.
To the point where they do like one more twist and then the guy goes, nah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But through the whole thing, like I was smiling, like it was fun. Like it was a good, you know, 90 or so minute, escape.
Like it really was. One thing that both me and my girlfriend said to each other when we got home, we were talking about it, is like, once in a while, it's fun to go see a movie where you can turn your brain off and just have fun. Like, it's not going to challenge you in any way. It's just there to make you laugh. And it's with some dark humor and ridiculous premises and just over-the-top, like, dark, funny shit. Including, like you said, like it kind of goes in this other direction of a more like kind of action thriller type thing, but still a comedy.
Yeah, but it's still fucking absurd the whole way through.
Yeah, but some of like the action sequences I think are pretty well done for not being like the main point of it.
Yeah.
And if you are trying to take this like the plot super seriously, like it is ridiculous, like some of the twists, but again, it's one of those movies where I'm like, I'm here to have fun, and it delivered on that. I think Jason Bateman is great as always. Like, he's perfect for this type of role. I love seeing him like as like the lead in a comedy. I think the chemistry between him and Rachel McAdams is great. Like, I thought she was great in it.
Yeah, she has some great timing, and like, she's just a lovely, lovely actress.
I really like her. She's sporting like the same kind of look that she did in True Detective, which I dug in True Detective. So, there's a scene where she's like holding these guys hostage, basically, and she's waving a gun around that she thinks is fake, and it's like sticking it in her mouth, pointing it at them, dropping the gun on the floor, like, being so careless with this gun because she doesn't realize that, their murder mystery game night is turned into something much more real. All that said, I do think there's someone who steals the show in this movie, and that is Jesse Plemons as their very
Gary.
like yeah, very is his name Gary?
Yeah, he's
Yeah.
their neighbor Gary.
This very strange cop neighbor who is recently divorced. I mean, I think Jesse Plemons is great in everything he does, but they really let him steal the show here. I mean, he's so fucking funny in every scene that he's in, doing like this very deadpan, like evil, sinister, like delivery of lines that are just kind of innocent things like, "Sorry, guys, having game night tonight," and then
So creepy.
they're like this. He's like this weird neighbor that they don't want to play game night with anymore now that he's divorced. But he's kind of lashing himself onto them because he's lonely. And I just, dude, Jesse Plemons is fucking fantastic in this. And then he really becomes more central to the plot than you even realize early on. I don't know. I mean, those are kind of things that stuck out to me. It's.
The fucking scene with the dog is hysterical.
Yeah, it's a great kind of scene. There is a racist joke near the beginning that I think is one of the funniest fucking lines I've heard in a movie in some time. And like, that's how you do a racist joke nowadays. You turn it around on the racist. I think you know what I'm talking about. I fucking died at that joke. Yeah, the movie's just funny. It's a fun time. Yeah, I could sit here and nitpick stupid things about it, but it's fun. It reminded me of like Horrible Bosses, which is funny because I'm looking right now that the guys who directed this wrote Horrible Bosses. But it's the same thing. It's like a dark comedy where like a night of hijinks happen, like, and things keep escalating further and further, you know.
It actually, like, I don't know if you ever saw it. There's a movie from 2010 with Steve Carell and Tina Fey,
Date Night.
Date Night, which is
Yeah.
very similar.
I thought of that too.
Yeah, it was like that. That's like I remember, like, that was fun. It was like a fun little date
Yeah.
movie. Like, yeah, I don't remember a whole lot about Date Night, but I remember, like, leaving the theater going, that was fun.
I really liked that movie, and the same thing, I don't remember anything, but like if I saw that on TV, I probably would watch it, you know? Like same with this. It's not going to stick in your head forever. There's, a few fun, really funny things that stand out. But it's a good time. It's an easy recommend. It's a damn shame too that like this thing is bombing at the box office. I think that the marketing was not really great for it.
No, and it unfortunately came out at, I mean, at a shit time. I mean, it's not any fault of its own, but it coming out like on the heels of Black Panther, which Disney did not even expect to kind of do what it's doing, and just kind of like hit that way. Yeah, it's unfortunately not gonna bring in a ton of money.
Yeah, there was like six people in the theater with us that included me and my girlfriend. Sucks. It's so weird being able to tell like what's gonna hit and what won't sometimes. Like shit like Black Panther's gonna hit, but like sometimes with these comedies, it's like this movie, first off, no one was looking forward to it, and then the reviews started to hit, and all the critics were like, "This thing is actually really good." So I'm like, oh, maybe this has a shot, you know? It apparently had no shot. I guess I am no sort of fortune teller when it comes to this shit.
I mean, it had the best shot of doing anything. Like, it came in number two over the weekend, but like way, way, way behind.
I guess it did that better than Annihilation then, right?
Yeah, it Annihilation did about 11 million, but also, I mean, there's things I ended up not going to see Annihilation because evidently it's going to be on Netflix in like a week and a half.
Okay, well
Like,
then
so,
I can't
yeah,
wait to see it.
like
But
I'll hit it up when it hits there.
yeah, and Paramount like trying to kill that movie. I don't know why, but I'm excited to see it then. I did know that they made like a deal with international rights on it where like it
Oh yeah,
debuted
it's already out on
on Netflix.
Netflix everywhere else.
But I did not know it was coming so quickly to our Netflix, so I'm super excited about that. I've heard cool things about it. I mean, the guy, the director did Ex Machina. He wrote 28 Days Later. I'm like on board for whatever he's doing.
Yeah,
So
I want to see it, and what I've heard of it seems like it's going to be pretty good. Like
it sounds
I'll like
like
it at
it's,
least.
yeah, it sounds like it's gonna like satisfy me at the very
Yeah.
least. But yeah, this is all around is, I think, just funny and a good time. Easy recommend to go see in the theater. I don't know if by the time you're listening to this episode, whether it's still gonna be in the theater. It might not, but if not, it's an easy recommend as a rental when it down the line. I mean, this is a fun movie. I guess I don't know. Do you have anything more to say about it?
No, I
I
mean
don't want to spoil all the jokes and you know.
it's a good, fun
Yeah.
date movie, really. Like, if you're looking for something
Yeah.
to go out and like, oh well, my girlfriend doesn't like sci-fi and like
Yeah, yeah.
you don't like romantic comedies, like this just hits the middle. Like it's just stupid fun. Like everyone can kind of relate to what's like the premise of it, which is
Yeah,
gonna be
everyone
them
has
playing
game nights,
games.
right? Yeah,
Yeah. And then like absurd shit happens from there.
yeah. Think date night. Think horrible bosses. If you're in the mood for something like that, this comes highly recommended. I'm giving it a 4.
I'm gonna be a little bit lower. I'm gonna go 3, but it's a recommend.
Yeah. On the other end of the spectrum, speaking of Netflix. The latest film from director Duncan Jones has debuted on Netflix. And if you don't know who Duncan Jones is, he's actually one of the most exciting directors out there, I think. He directed Moon, directed and wrote Moon and Source Code, two films that I think are some of the best sci-fi films of the last 20 years, easily. Like, I love both those movies. He also spent years doing the Warcraft adaptation. Which I have not seen, generally regarded as bad, but I know there's people that like it.
It's mediocre at best.
Okay. And I didn't really care about that one way or another because it's a video game movie, whatever. But this was him coming back to sci-fi. It's a passion project. He's been trying to get like done for like a decade. I'm totally on board. I'm excited. It hits Netflix. The reviews come out, and I think it settles around 9%, somewhere in there. It was at 5% at one point on the Rotten Tomato meter. Just abysmal. And
Yeah.
even still, I said, okay, well, for some reason, whatever reason, it's not clicking with critics. Then again, a 9% tomato score, like to me, could mean that most people thought it was just okay, like not that good, or and maybe I would find, maybe I'd be that 9% that was like, hey, I liked it, like I wasn't writing it off, but I was just like, well, that's a little alarming, but I'm still excited for it. I went and watched it, and it's like this weird Blade Runner knockoff.
Yeah, I guess.
That is, I mean, let's. I'm gonna stop beating around the bush. It's nearly unwatchable. This is a terrible film. This is an early front runner for worst film of 2018. I'd be surprised if I watched another movie that I thought was worse. What
This
say you, Chris?
is literally one of the worst movies I've seen in years. Like
Yeah.
we have sat down and watched some shit
Yeah.
ass like independent horror film
Yeah.
nonsense, and this is a pretty big, like, I mean, the production values on it are pretty good.
Yes.
This is a bad movie with fairly big name people, done by a big name director. This is a garbage pit of a film.
So you finished it.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot, I was worried you weren't gonna either, because you're like 10
Woo!
minutes in, you're texting
Was
me like,
tough.
what
Yeah,
the
it was.
fuck?
Yes.
It was tough for me to finish. I turned it off about 45 minutes in, and I came back to it a day later, and I was like, fuck it, let's just do it. Let's power through this. I know a lot of people did not. Like a lot of people like made it 10, 20 minutes and said, what the fuck is this? There's so many fucking things wrong with this movie. I mean, I'll give it a few good things off the top. Like I do think the production values are there. I think it looks cool as a Blade Runner knockoff. Like visually, there are points where I think the movie looks cool.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah,
it.
there's some nice use of neon and color and stuff is framed well. But yeah,
There's like an early shot where he's swimming in a pool and there's like a screen behind him, in the
yeah, but
pool. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
yeah, like
I'm not
it's a
blaming.
believable future, like believable near future.
Yeah, it looks cool, but unlike Blade Runner 2049, which is a better film in every way, like one of the things I liked about Blade Runner 2049 as a sci-fi film is it had these little ideas in nearly every scene that didn't necessarily always relate to the plot. It was just like, hey, here's a cool sci-fi idea. Like, this movie doesn't really have that. The shit it has is like, what if sex robots,
Like, what if there was a robot stripper?
And that's not really an idea. That has nothing.
It's just visual nonsense. I'm gonna read the text I sent you, which is like, this was in the middle of watching this movie. I think it was right after the like weird sex robots that had dildos coming out of like every angle. I was like, it's like Jones had a hard on for Blade Runner, but had no idea how to work a film around that. So he just took every fetish he ever whacked off to and put it in a blender. And like, that's really kind of how I feel about like what he had going on here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess let's try to explain what it really is. The movie doesn't explain what it is until so fucking far into it. It's
Yeah.
trying to be this cyberpunk noir film, just like Blade Runner. And the basic idea is there's this guy who's an Amish guy. For
All
what
right.
fucking reason?
Yeah,
I don't know.
can we? Well, all right, let's
Why?
explain it. We'll
Why?
come back to the Amish because I we need to discuss that.
We
But
need to really, and it leads to this ridiculous fucking part. All right. Anyway, yeah, this guy, he's Amish. He got in an accident when he was a kid that I don't know what exactly happened. Like boat propeller fucking hit his neck or something. I don't know. They don't really explain it
I
well.
think he
And
was in the water and some people fished him out.
and because his parents are Amish, they don't get surgery to repair his voice box. He, as an adult, even though he could get it repaired, does not because he's Amish. Like, what the fuck? There's
Power
like
source,
a
Jeff.
yeah, and essentially what it becomes is he's like this bartender who's in love with this girl, and she might have some dark secrets of her own, and she goes missing, and he's trying to find her. Like,
That's pretty
that's
much it.
it, yeah. The whole Amish thing leads to this ridiculous part at the end where he's like, it's supposed to be like this badass scene where he's beating everyone up with this fucking bedpost that he made. Like, what? So stupid. And
Yeah, so I want to rewind to the fact that he's Amish because
yes. Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't understand why.
I don't exactly like it. It makes zero sense. I happen to live not too far from where a large contingent of Amish people live. I know how they live. I don't know how they will live, in cyberpunk future,
And I
but
don't care.
right.
It's nothing to do. Like, he doesn't do anything with like technology versus their simpler way of living. Like
Right.
that it equals nothing in the movie. It's just he's Amish, so that's
Right.
why
It's
he
like,
doesn't repair his voice
he doesn't
box.
have a phone because he's Amish, but also he works in a bar, like where a strip
Yeah.
club, not just like a bar, a literal strip club.
Which are both things that are against. Like, I know Amish people too. Like, in Southern Illinois, there's a pretty big Amish
Yeah.
population, and that's where my uncle lives. Like, they wouldn't be cool with that. Like,
No, not at all.
they would
And then
secretly,
it's like, I mean,
but.
they kind of they're very insular. They would work together. Like they do use electricity if they need to for like, for their business, but they would never be like, you Amish boy, go work at the bar. Like, 'cause that's way again, like they don't drink. They certainly aren't all about like sex. And
Yeah,
then
like
like
I
they
mean
wouldn't.
they do break their rules secretly a
Yeah,
lot, like, but
sure.
everyone does that.
But like he's still like, oh, I'm Amish. Like I'm not gonna like
Yeah,
I'm
it's
living
just
by myself in an apartment that has electricity.
Exactly.
And I'm dating somebody, and she's not Amish, so I don't know. I'm Amish because it made sense to for me not to have surgery. That was an easy out. And oh, Amish people are really good woodworkers, I guess.
That's it. Yes.
So
Yes. This is the voice box and the fact that he's building something in a
it's like
garage.
you couldn't just be like, hey, he had an accident and we're not going to explain why he didn't have surgery. He just didn't.
Or they couldn't repair his voice
Right. Like
box.
or
Like,
like
what the
it
fuck
doesn't even fucking
ever?
matter. Like the guy's a mute. You could have started. You don't even need to do the child bit at the beginning. You just start, guy's a mute. He can't talk. And he's a good fucking carpenter. You don't need the weird Amish angle.
I mean, I would argue you don't need the carpenter angle either. Like, I
No,
just,
like I
it's all
that was
equals
stupid too.
nothing. Yes. And then even worse, at some point in this movie, you start to spend half the movie with these two mob doctors played by Paul Rudd and Justin Theroux, who they call each other babe, and you think that maybe they're gay for each other. I don't know. Like,
That was the first impression I got, but then like, no,
they call each
maybe
other babe all the time, and they have a
I don't,
very homoerotic
yeah,
relationship.
I don't know. I think there's like a line somewhere in there where Justin Theroux's character, I guess, explains that, like, I guess when they were in Afghanistan or whatever, Kandahar, like, I guess they were roommates and got it on. I don't know. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, but
I
it,
guess the one guy's a pedophile. Spoilers, sorry,
yeah.
but.
It's weird. There's like a whole bunch of shots of like him like looking up little girls' dresses and like I don't like does that need to be here?
Well, there's a whole scene.
No.
I mean, we're gonna kind of spoil this a little bit because who cares? But there's a whole scene where Paul Rudd confronts him and accuses him of being a pedophile, and he kind of cops to it at some point. Why is that in there? I don't know. Why?
It's like okay, that guy's a bad guy. Like, did we
And
need to like do we need to hate him any more than we already did? Because his constant, hey babe, let's cut this dude open while we're doing surgery, like that was annoying enough. I already hated him. I
I
didn't need him
know,
to be a
I know.
pedophile for me to hate him. Like,
I mean, I hated both of them. You spend so much time with these mob doctors. It's almost like it's a different, separate movie, and you're wondering the whole time. You're wondering why the fuck am I following them? Like, what does this have to do at all with what supposedly the main plot is? And it does at the end. It's so poorly and briefly explained. Like the mystery, like the
yeah, so
key to unlocking this mystery. Like, I have to have my girlfriend who was barely watching explain it to me. I was like, oh yeah, okay, I kind of missed what.
I'm gonna like one, we don't recommend you watch this movie, so
It's
I'm
bad.
gonna spoil this so you don't have to watch it. So the girl that Alexander Skarsgård is looking for Leo is looking for, is the mother of Paul Rudd's kid. And
Yes.
Paul Rudd is trying to escape Germany because I don't know why.
He's AWOL from, there's like a war going on, and he's
he's
AWOL from
AWOL.
Germany.
He's a U.S. serviceman. U.S. like he works for the U.S. Army or somebody as a doctor, and he's gone AWOL. But the fucking U.S. Army knows where he is, like because they confront him at one point, and he just like walks away. Like he's like, what the fuck? But anyway, the mother is the girlfriend is the mother of Paul Rudd's daughter's character, and Paul Rudd kills her, and that's why nobody's been able to find her, and he just left her in a plastic bag in the side of the room. Like,
It's the most, like, once it's revealed, you're like, okay, that was the that's what we're doing going on this 2 hour journey for,
the
like.
reason Leo is able to track this shit down is because Justin Theroux's character is having a goof on him by leaving him like hints.
We need to discuss this because it annoys me still. I'm like, all right, so Justin Theroux, this is the other mob doctor, is leading the main character, the mute, towards Paul Rudd, the other mob doctor, like the whole time. And then he like gets what he, I don't know. He does that, and the mute guy finds him and fucking kills him, and then Justin Throw gets mad about it.
He's like, now I'm going to have to kill you. Like, why'd you do that?
Like, you set this whole thing up, and it turned out exactly how you would have expected, and then you get mad about it. Like, I don't understand, and we are kind of spoiling it, but it makes no fucking sense at all. It makes zero sense. Like, I'm trying to, like, so, like, and you said he's doing it as a goof. I'm like, and that's how kind of how he plays it in the movie. He's like,
yeah.
He's like, just so you know, I've been sending him texts. Right? And you're like, but why?
Why
do these doctors do anything that they do? It makes no sense.
Makes zero. It's so stupid.
And like, what did you expect the guy to do except come and fucking kill him? I will give you this, that the killing was pretty good, like super fucking grisly, but so not worth this 2-hour journey that like really is like one of the dumbest, dullest fucking murder mysteries I've ever seen in my life. One of the worst sci-fi films I've ever seen. Like, holy shit. Like, I just don't understand how someone who made a movie as smart as Moon would make something so bloated and fucking empty as this, and so devoid of any fucking logic or anything. And it has no cool sci-fi ideas, nothing. Like, there's nothing to point to here. There's a cool killing, and some of the fucking visuals are cool. Other than that, this is, like you said, even the fucking references, there's like several references to Moon, and it takes place in the same universe as Moon. That does nothing to save this. It's like, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that movie. It's so much better than what I'm watching right now. I couldn't stand the time I spent with these characters. I hated Paul Rudd. I hated Justin Theroux. Alexander Skarsgård, you can't really hate because he doesn't fucking do anything.
Right,
and you're just like, this is dumb. Why is he Amish?
He walks through the entire movie with the same fucking expression on his face. Like, it's like, is he angry? Is he inquisitive? Yeah. Like, he's like, there's a cup my kids got me that they thought was funny. Like, it has like 9 pictures of Darth Vader and like all different expressions written underneath it. And that's exactly how I felt about Alexander Skarsgård. It's like, I don't know. I don't know if he's happy or sad or angry. He always looks exactly the fucking same in this movie.
Yeah. My only recommendation on watching this is it's a see it to believe it. Like, I told you, immediately after I saw it, I texted you. I go, dude, I don't know if you've seen Mood yet, but it is crazy bad. Like, so bad, you have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, which is kind of why I was like, all right. I have to. Like, I have to sit down and watch it.
I was not fucking lying, was I?
No. It is. It's a film that, like, I don't know. This might have been a film that if I was in the theater, I would have walked out on. Like, but because I was sitting on my couch, it was like, and I don't really ever walk out of movies. But wow, it is so garbagey.
I don't think I've ever walked out of a movie, but I think I would have walked out of this. I would have said, okay, well, maybe I'll finish it. On video or something, yeah. But like thank God I got the Netflix release so that like I was able to break it up and then come back and force myself to do it.
Yeah, like I mean, I did watch it all in one afternoon, but I think it was over like a 4-hour period.
Yeah,
I just kept getting up.
Right, like, I need to take a break.
I'm gonna go upstairs and make something to eat. And oh, I haven't finished that movie yet.
I almost wish more people did watch it because like I don't see anyone talking about it on Twitter now. Like, there was a buzz on film Twitter for a couple days about how bad it was, and, like, none of the people who are, like, our friends, like, you know, just, like, our random friends on Twitter are, like, I would just love to see, like, you know, just, like, Justin's reaction to this. Like, it's like, what the fuck? It's fucking terrible. Like, my recommendation is it's so bad you almost have to see it just to fucking believe it, but...
Yeah,
I can't recommend it as a movie that you should watch at all. Like,
yeah, if you are not interested in seeing like how bad it actually is, then just stay away. Like, there is nothing of value here. Like,
yeah, like Earl, you have your next fucking bad movie night right here. Yeah. But it's not like a fun bad movie, dude. It's bad. Like, unbearably bad, where you're just like, God, I hate these doctors. Like, why? Why these doctors? Why that fucking stupid hair? Like, why? Like, Justin Theroux's hair in this is, like, why would you do that to him? Like, I just, like, even that, even his fucking hair, Justin Theroux's hair drives me nuts. I'm giving it a 1. But I would almost go zero on it. I'm giving it a one because it's like technically well made, sort of.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I think maybe if I had shut it off and stopped, it would be a zero. But I did power through it, so I'm gonna give it a one as well.
and I think you know what? This might win an award from us at the end of the year, but
Yeah, no.
it's not gonna be an award you want.
No.
So I guess that kind of wraps it up. Anything for sure for next time, Chris?
I'm gonna go see Death Wish.
Okay. I'm waiting to see. I mean, I know the reviews are not going to be good on it, but I'm just waiting to see some of the reaction from it. I might go to. I like Eli Roth more than I probably should,
Yeah,
and I like Bruce Willis still, so.
had a conversation about that. Like somebody was like, "Oh, I'm staying away from Death Wish because fucking hate Eli Roth." I'm like, I know I shouldn't like him.
Like he's technically not good,
Yeah,
but
he
he
at all anything.
like me and him have some of the same likes. Like I like gore, you know. Like I heard this movie does not really have it, but
Which makes sense. Like it's a it's a remake of the Charles Bronson movie. It's more of an action movie than anything else.
yeah. But I was kind of hoping for like, I mean, and I don't know. I only looked at one review, but I was kind of hoping for like. You know, kind of head exploding type of like gunshot type shit,
Yeah.
like the really kind of trashy 70s and 80s movies that were like ultra violent action, kind of like Brawl in Cell Block 99, where like that, you know, you're watching a normal like action type movie and it's like out of nowhere, it's like horror level of gore, and you're like, whoa, that's
Yeah.
what I was kind of hoping for from Death Wish, and I'm like, here it's just kind of very standard. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if I'm
Yeah.
gonna make it to see that. I honestly can't guarantee you anything.
That's fine.
I'm kind of stuck on Kevin Smith films at the moment, and I do know though I do have from Netflix. And I will watch it. The Killing of a Sacred Deer from the director of The Lobster. We'll
Oh,
see
okay.
about that. And we'll have some Oscar reaction because the Oscars are gonna be happening this weekend. So I'll be excited to like talk about that and break down some of that. Other than that, yeah, I'm just still going through Kevin Smith movies and catching random ones. Like I watched American Made this last week, which is one that you recommended. It was fun. It feels like a movie I've seen a billion times, but it was
Sure.
fun. Just I'm catching up on little things like that and just random shit. I'm sure there'll be some weird fucking thing by next week that we'll be talking about. Maybe Annihilation will hit. I don't know. But at the very least, we'll have Death Wish and Oscar talk.
Yeah, there's almost always a new Netflix feature to watch. Like, I think the new there was like news or rumors that like Netflix is pushing like 700 pieces of like new original content this year. So that includes like film and TV stuff too, but
And a lot of it like will come out of nowhere and is noteworthy in one way. Even Mute is noteworthy for how fucking bad it is and who did it, you know? And you know what? I guess one last thing before we go, speaking of Netflix, I have been watching, they did a reboot of Queer Eye for the
okay.
straight guy. It's just called Queer Eye, this reboot. I never watched an original, but this like reboot for whatever reason was getting like a lot of buzz. So I was like, fuck it, I'll check it out. It's like have you ever watched like the original show?
Yeah, I believe I've seen the original. I haven't seen any of this
Okay.
remake.
So I'm assuming that the reboot is kind of what the original was. It's like a group of gay guys will go make over a straight guy who is not good at taking care of himself or whatever, you know.
Yes.
And it's honestly like, dude, I'm not into reality TV. Like, it didn't sound like my type of thing. It's totally like excellent junk food TV. Like, actually, like almost a little better than that at point because it's like they're not just making over, like, hey, you should dress like this or whatever. They kind of like go through every aspect of the guy's life, whoever, their subject is for that week. His house, his look, just kind of like what's going on in his life, like addressing that and stuff. And it just has like a kind of a positive message about like, taking care of yourself is not like gay or straight. It's like you shouldn't fucking take pride in being a garbage human being. Like, fucking take care of yourself or whatever. Like, and like some of the guys, like the I would say this, Chris, watch the first episode of this reboot. The guy is like, you just feel for him. You're like, this guy is just like a nice guy and he deserves better out of life. And he hides behind like really bad grooming and shit. And I don't like, I'm maybe putting more into it than is actually there, but it's like to the point where I'm like, I almost teared up at the end of that first episode because I just was happy for the guy feeling good about himself. And I even saw him like he's like on Twitter now, and I saw him talking about how like the girl he was pining after in that episode has left him, and he'll always love her. I'm like, God damn it! It's like I said, it's pretty like great junk food TV. I highly recommend it as like if you just want something that it's like feel good show and like it makes you feel good when you're watching it. It's good. I see why there was buzz for this reboot. Again, I've never seen the original, so I don't know how it compares.
Maybe I'll watch it with my wife.
It's an easy it's dude, it's such an easy like background watch. Okay, that's it for this week. We'll come up with stuff for next week. We always do. So thanks for listening. Come back next week.
Movie dudes. Dudes.